Your Bibles with you this morning, I want to invite you to open them to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we're going to be looking at verse 15. Now, if you have spent time in church any length of time, you probably have heard a Christmas message with this verse of Scripture being used, and you can see why. Here it says, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." I want to talk a little bit about that this morning with you. And before we get started, though, I'm going to ask my brother Nathan if he would ask the blessing upon this word this morning.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this opportunity to come and to take the bread of life. I thank you, Father, for our pastor and his diligent service to you. I pray, the Lord, that you would bless each family represented here. I pray, dear God, that you would direct your word in each willing heart. Have your way. Save souls. Dear Lord, strengthen us in your faith. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, every year, it'd be really easy to struggle in the flesh trying to come up with a Christmas message. After all, there's so many Christmas messages you can share, correct? But if you listen to the Spirit of God, the Lord gives you what you need to share. And last year I shared something similar to this, and I began, Lord, should I share this again? But this is part of the message. And it's something that needs to be heard, I believe, every year. And I think it needs to be reiterated in our ears. We need to be reminded of that fact, because we're creatures of habit. We have a tendency sometimes to go astray. And I think just being reminded of these things draws back into the place where we need to be. Amen? We need to be reminded about this indescribable gift, don't we? You know, because I think a lot of times with the cares of this life, we lose focus of that sometimes. And I was driving in town the other day pondering on what I was going to share. And actually how it came about was I was listening to the radio, and there was I couldn't tell you what the name of the song was. It was a contemporary Christian Christmas song. But there was one line in the song that just kind of struck my heart core. Just really, it stayed with me, you know, because it made me begin to think about the seriousness of what I'm going to be talking to you about here. And the line was this: if I told you that you have within your hands the ability to give someone indescribable hope, would you believe it? Amen. Amen? Indescribable hope. What a gift. Amen. You know, that's the ultimate gift. It's the gift that you don't have to worry about taking back and exchanging. It's the gift you don't have to worry about, you know, putting up in the closet or the attic, you know, or re-gifting for later years. It's the gift that keeps on giving. God gave us the most wonderful gift, and we just look at and we remember it sometimes. Too lightly. I'm just being honest with you, folks. I think that every day we are to wake up in the morning and just meditate upon the Word and meditate upon the promise of that indescribable gift, and think about just how indescribable it is, because it truly is indescribable. And I think that myself, I can try to attempt here this morning to describe it somewhat, but I think that if you think about what that song said, you have within your hands to give somebody indescribable hope. 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 You know, that's what everybody needs. Everybody needs hope. And you know, when we share our faith with people and they begin to see the reality of that there's something more beyond this life, it gives you a hope that this world just can't supply. Amen? And because, I mean, after all, I've said this before, and I'll stand by my guns on this one. I don't believe there's any such thing as an atheist. I believe there are agnostics, yes, people who don't know, but atheists, no. And you know what? People need that hope. Now, there's a lot of people who, you know, refuse to believe, simply will not believe. And they look at the Christian experience as one that is just something that seems so futile and hopeless and vain. Well, that's something that the Scripture says, that basically the world lives that way. And if they reject the knowledge of Christ, that's the way that they view Christianity. But Paul had a response to that in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19. He said, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable." Amen? But he goes on to describe the gift somewhat. But he even falls short himself, because he spoke about this indescribable gift. He says, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Now, I know you might say, well, Kerry, this sounds like an Easter message. You can't separate the two. Amen? For since by man death came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, and even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Hallelujah! Amen. All are going to be made alive. That's indescribable hope, folks. Indescribable hope of resurrection and eternal life. I think it's interesting, as I was looking through the scriptures, I found a quote by Job. And Job quotes a lot of scriptures that have to do with nature. You know, the Bible says that in nature, the heavens even declare the glory of God. But he had kind of this one verse of scripture that I began to look at it. And, you know, in scripture, the Bible in typology, it's a man is like being a tree, right? In the days of his life, you go through seasons, you know, and what have you. But Job says this in Job 14, verse 7 through 9. For there is hope for a tree, if it is cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its tender shoots will not cease. Amen? The problem is men don't realize that you're going to have an eternal existence. You're going to have an eternal existence. But where you're going to spend that existence, amen, depends on what you do with Christ. It says, though its roots may grow old in the earth, and its stump may die in the ground, yet at the sin of water... I love that, because in Scripture, water represents the Word. At the sin of water, it will bud and bring forth branches like a plant. Isn't that a cool Scripture? I like that. You know, David, he understood this hope. He understood this indescribable gift. After David had sinned with Bathsheba and had messed up so bad, you know, he was able to say, oh man, what a wonderful hope I have set before me. Because of the God of my salvation, He's so gracious. And he says these words here in Psalm 16, verse 8 through 11. He said, I have set the Lord always before me because He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Now, we know that in the book of Acts, it says that David wrote this because he was a prophet. And he was actually, this was speaking of Christ. But David was saying it also for himself. He said, therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. And he goes on to say, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. And you will show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand pleasures forevermore. Would you say that is an indescribable gift? The gift that keeps on giving? The gift that has more than just this life, and it goes beyond? And for eternity, we're going to be finding out the things that God has waiting for those who love and fear Him. Amen? The indescribable gift to come. You know, we're at that time of year here, Christmas time. Some maybe have opened their gifts and what have you last night, or maybe even today, or maybe later this evening. But all too often before Christmas comes, we're so concerned about getting the gift that's just right for the ones that we love. And sometimes we give gifts to people because they give us gifts, you know. But I like Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Amen? It truly is. And He has given us a gift that only God could give. And there's nothing that we can do to repay that. Amen? Such a precious gift. Now, have you ever received a gift that you felt was indescribable? I can't. Everything on earth is describable, right? My wife last night, I'm going to tell them, Nan, that her mother and her sister and my daughter, you got to understand, Natalie is a crazy Giants fan. But they gave her airfare and a hotel and all the accommodations, everything, for two games at spring training in Arizona. Now, Natalie would say, that's the indescribable gift, probably, no? But it's describable, right? Every gift that man gives is describable. I was looking at an illustration that was, I think I might have shared this last year, but I think it's fitting for this morning too. But the show Good Morning America had a hostess by the name of Joan London, and she featured some gift ideas that might be called indescribable. One of them was a Jaguar automobile. If you had a Jaguar automobile parked out front with a big old red bow, would you say, ooh, that's indescribable? No. It would be wonderful. You guys want to do that for me sometime, you can, you know. But In order to get one of those, you would have to go to the dealer and you'd have to put down at least $80,000 deposit. Then, when the automobile is delivered, you're expected to pay the balance of $507,000. The Jaguar 20 is about $587,000. Crazy. And they only make 250 of them a year. So that's what makes it even more valuable. Now, there are others that she mentioned there. Like, for example, there's a new car wax that promised to give the ultimate shine. And it retails at $34,000. I think anybody who would pay $34,000 for some car wax has got to have their head examined. You know, I'll take a little dullness. You know what I mean? Yeah, total wax. So, the third item she talked about was $300,000 gold and silver toilet seat inlaid with precious stones. And then there was the cheaper gifts, which were like an $18,000 frisbee, a $10,000 yo-yo, a $12,000 mousetrap. That's for the man who has everything. Yeah, better work. And even a $27,000 pair of glasses. And for the proud parent or grandparent who wants to get their little grandbaby or baby something really special, there was the $28,000 pacifier. Isn't it crazy what people spend money on, you know? I think it interesting that the Lord says, come and buy that which is without money. Amen? It's a free gift. Free gift. You know? Now at this time of year, we do our best to describe the wonderful gift that Jesus has given us. We know that many musicians have tried to compose songs and hymns and Christmas carols over the years to describe how wonderful a gift it was that came that night. Silent night, holy night, O little town of Bethlehem. I heard the bells ring on Christmas Day. All these different wonderful hymns. Some of the greatest music your ears will ever hear, and yet they can't even begin to describe how wonderful the gift is that God has given us. I read a story of a fellow who was researching past history of the church. And he found out that at the Council of Chalcedon in 451 AD, that some of the greatest minds came together, theological minds came together to describe Jesus. Here is the description that they came up with. Perfect in Godhead and also perfect in manhood, truly man of a reasonable, rational soul and body, consubstantial, co-essential with the Father according to the manhood, in all things like unto what us without sin, begotten before all ages of the Father according to the Godhead, and in these latter times for us and our salvation, born of a Virgin Mary and of the Mother of God, according to the manhood, one and the same Christ, Son, Lord, only begotten, to be acknowledged in two natures, inconfusedly, unchangeably, indivisibly, inseparably, and distinction of natures, being by no means taken away by the union, but rather the property of each nature being preserved. Secondly, you know, we look at these things, folks, and I think, oh my goodness, I didn't understand a word of that. You know? Because they really can't even scratch the surface, even theologically, who God is and what He has done for us. What do we celebrate at Christmas? We celebrate the fact that Jesus came into this world to save us. God saw that mankind needed saving, so what did He do? He sent a Savior. He saw the inhumanity that man has against man. We certainly couldn't save ourselves. And so God extended to us something that just really blows my mind when you really think about it, grace. We all know what grace is, right? It's unmerited favor, something that we don't deserve. Think about it. Next Christmas sometime, think about this. When you think about the grace that God has given you, think about maybe somebody who has done you seriously wrong, and you go out and you buy them just a gift that would just blow their mind. Amen? Not because they deserve it, but because of grace. Because of grace. Think about that for a moment. Could you do that? Think about what God has done. Given us something we totally did not deserve at all. I look at Romans 5, and Romans 5 and 5 through 11, and when I read these verses of Scripture, it causes me to ponder and think about that very fact that, you know, I know who I was before I got saved. I know who I am now. I still don't deserve it. Amen? Even though He has changed my heart. And it says these words. It says, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. And if we, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And then it goes on to say, and not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Not only is this the indescribable gift, but like I said, it is the gift that keeps on giving. You know, what happens whenever you receive the gift of God? You know, it's different than the ones that you open at Christmas, for example. You open the gifts at Christmas. After a few days, maybe a month or so, you lose interest in it, right? But the gift of God changes you. He makes you new. And if we do begin to lose interest, we need to get our sights refocused back on what this indescribable gift is. I was telling my wife, I was sitting there on the side of the bed this morning, the Lord spoke to my heart. And, you know, all of us, each and every one of us, need to think, need to meditate on this day about how indescribable God's gift is to us. He gave us something we totally did not deserve. And you know, I was thinking about that movie, The Toy Story. You ever see The Toy Story? These little toys, you know, they're having to deal with a young little boy that's growing up. Doesn't pay as much attention to them anymore. Now folks, I'm not saying that Jesus is a toy. I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, but what I am saying is that we sometimes treat Him like that. We do, don't we? We get involved in the things of this world and we don't spend as much time with Him. In prayer, communing with Him, reading the Word, fellowshipping. We've got to come back, amen? You can learn a great lesson from that little movie. These little toys, the things that they did, wanted to restore that love again. You see, this was Paul's complaint against the church of Ephesus. They had left their first love. And he said, go back and do the first works. That's what these little toys were doing. They wanted to rekindle that, you see? And so we as believers, folks, we've got to realize from where we have fallen. If we've gotten to that place where we're neglecting reading the Word of God, we've gotten to that place where we're neglecting coming to church and fellowshipping and what have you, we've got to realize from where we have fallen and go back to where we were in the beginning when we're so deeply in love with that indescribable gift. Amen? Because you don't want to lose it. You don't want to lose it. It would be a very, very sorry day. Because Jesus is now my Savior, all my sins are forgiven. Something we ought to cherish in our hearts. When we accept Jesus, we are adopted into the family of God. We're guaranteed citizenship into the kingdom. Before we were foreigners, we were aliens, we were strangers separated from God. But He brought us near. We're adopted into the family of God. We are adopted sons of the Almighty God because of what Jesus has done for us. And when we accept Jesus, we receive the gift of His Holy Spirit who lives within us, who leads us and guides us into all truth. He also gives us His peace. It's not a peace that the world gives. Like Jesus said, it's a peace that passes understanding. He says, it's not like the world. And because of Jesus, he's also building a mansion for us one day. Amen?
Amen.
It's something that we're going to receive ahead of time. I shared those things. You know those are in the Scripture. And yet that I can't even begin to describe the greatness of the gift of God. Because there's so much more that is to come. Because God has given us such a great gift. To truly demonstrate our appreciation and acceptance of that gift, I believe one of the ways we show the Lord that we do appreciate and love that gift is we want to give it to others. That's why I opened with that very thought. We have within our hands the ability to give somebody this indescribable hope, this indescribable gift. Romans 10, verse 15 says, "How shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." Amen? Reminds you of the angels. You know, the message that they gave that morning was glad tidings. And they said in Luke 2, verse 13 through 14, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." That's glad tidings. Amen? And so I began to think, you know, I'm going to search the Scriptures and see where it talks about glad tidings. And I thought it was interesting that when John the Baptist, before he was born, his father was in the temple. When the angel Gabriel appeared to John the Baptist's father, Zacharias, the angel said this, "And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings." Then we find that Jesus himself and his disciples, going from village to village, Luke chapter 1, verse 19, we also see the angel, the announcement of his birth. The angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I speak to you these things, bring you glad tidings." That is Zacharias, sorry. And then the glad tidings that Jesus gave were in Luke chapter 8 and verse 1. It says, "And now it came to pass afterwards that he went to every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom. And the 12 were with him." The 12 were with him. And he was bringing the glad tidings. Now we find in Acts chapter 13, verse 27 through 33, the Apostle Paul here is sharing with the people. And it says, "For those who dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not know him, nor even the voices of the prophets, which were read every Sabbath, have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, they asked Pilate that he should be put to death. Now when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in the tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and he was seen for many days by those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses to the people. And we declare to you glad tidings, the promise which was made to the fathers, God has fulfilled for us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus, as it is also written in the second Psalm, 'You are my son, this day I have begotten you.'" Folks, as believers, we should be following the example here of bringing glad tidings. I want to encourage you today, you have opportunity, whether it's with family or friends, to share those glad tidings. Amen? And I spoke about what those very things are right here. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 15, chapter 5, verse 14 through 21. It says, "Awake, you sleep, and rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See that you walk circumspectly and not as fools, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord in your heart, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and submitting to one another in the fear of God." You see, we are to be living the life. It's an active life, living it out before people, that the doors and opportunities may be open for us to be able to share those glad tidings, folks. You see, if we're not living for the Lord, if we're not reflecting who Jesus is, and the Bible wants us to shine as lights, amen, then it's going to be difficult for them to see. Now, there are many who mock and make fun of this gift. And folks, we need to do our best to make sure that their eyes will be open. And we should do nothing to bring a reproach upon the Lord. His hand is always extended to those who still mock and make fun. You know, people say, you know, I can't believe in what I can't see. You know, and a lot of people will make fun of you and your faith. But just because you cannot see it doesn't make it any less real. Amen? I found a really sweet illustration I want to share with you. It says, some time ago, a story goes that a man punished his 3-year-old daughter for wasting a roll of gold wrapping paper. Money was tight, and he became infuriated when the child tried to decorate a box to put under the Christmas tree. Nevertheless, the little girl brought the gift to her father and the next morning and gave it to him. He was embarrassed by his earlier overcorrection, but his anger flared again when he found the box empty. He yelled at her, telling her that there must be something in the box for it, if it was to be a gift. The little girl looked up at him with tears in her eyes and said, "Oh, Daddy, it's not empty. I blew kisses in the box, all for you." Now we can see from this story, the gift, it came in an empty box. We have a gift of an empty tomb. Amen? And the motive behind it is priceless, just as God has given us a wonderful gift. And if you receive this gift, you will see, maybe not physically, but you'll see spiritually. And something wonderful happens as the Lord reveals himself to you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 through 9 says, "Whom having not seen you love, and though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." How important it is for us to be able to not only receive that for ourselves, but to relate that to others. Because when people reject this wonderful free gift, what a sad day that will be. And there will be a day when they will be sorry. There's a story that I want to read to you in closing here. It was, to me, kind of very profound, because I think that considering the gifts that God has given us, and we mentioned many gifts that he's given us, plural, the gift of his Holy Spirit, the gift of peace, the gift of love and joy and so on, eternal life, the list goes on and on and on. It's indescribable. But this is a story a man by the name of Stieg Hugo wrote an autobiography about his youth, and he said these words. He said, "As far back as I can remember, I always treated old man Jones, my neighbor, in the worst way. Each April 1st, I had a burning paper bag of dog poop in it. It was kind of a tradition with me and my friends. We even thought old man Jones would fall for it sometime, but he didn't. But he still had a mess to clean up. He always knew that it was me. And he would always say, without anger in his voice, 'Someday you'll be sorry.' His driveway was next to ours. And in the winter, I'd always shovel our snow into his drive, giving him twice the work. He never got a snowblower, but when I was 12, just before a blizzard, one appeared in my driveway with a note saying, 'You might need this.' I could now delight in blowing all the snow from the driveway and most of my front yard into old man Jones's yard and even onto his car. This particular car was a 1969 Mustang Mach Series car that from time to time, even though it was underneath a canvas cover, he would key it, you know, a little kid. And the kid was rotten. And he would shoot his BB gun over into the house, and he'd hit the windows, make little holes in the windows. And he'd always hear that old man saying, "You know, some city, son, you're going to be sorry." And so one morning, every morning at Christmas time, there would be a bag of Christmas gifts on the front porch. And he always assumed that it was his grandfather who was kind of out of sorts with his mother because of she had many affairs and what have you. And he'd never, ever seen his grandfather. So he just assumed it was his grandfather. And so one morning he decided he was going to wait up and see who was and what his grandfather actually looked like. And one morning he heard the pitter-patter on the front porch, and he opened the door, and there was Old Man Jones putting a bag of toys out there for him. And he said that day arrived when he was sorry. You see, even the BB gun Old Man Jones had given him. Now think about that for a moment. Think about all that God has given us. Amen? And for people to reject that wonderful gift, what a sorry day that will be. Indeed, more than sorry. And people today who profess Christianity, who are not giving God their all. You know? Remember, one day we're going to stand before the Lord, and we must all give an account before the judgment seat of Christ for what we've done in our bodies, whether good or bad. And that will be a sorry day too. You'll be saved, yet as by fire, the Scripture says. But I don't know about you, but I want to do all I can, amen, to be able to stand before the Lord and have Him say, well done, good and faithful servant, amen. Let's all endeavor to do that. And folks, you all have a very, very Merry Christmas. And again, look for opportunity to be able to share those glad tidings, amen, because it truly is an indescribable gift, but we've got to be able to do it to the best of our ability, amen. Because that's what our call is as believers. Let's bow our heads in prayer.